you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is, and this is Dr. Mike on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Joe Galewski isn't with us this week, so I'm doing the intros and the outros as well as the main part of the show, and I love it. Thanks very much for listening. The Wonder of Aging, Embracing Life After 50 with bestseller Michael Gurry. And if you want to hear the replay of that interview, we did it recently on Last Hour on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can always hear it. You can hear any of our shows. Go to RadioMD.com, go to You, the Owner's Manual on that, and get the archives and you'll hear the show. They're usually posted by Tuesday of the week. Gary Ginsberg coming up. Are cell phones too toxic for kids to even touch? Forget about digital problems with it or digital dementia. That's a new subject this week, digital dementia. Kids who use cell phones end up in a much higher degree of antisocial or unsocial behavior and with what is called digital dementia. They can't remember anything else but how to use the cell phone and how to text and do things on the cell phone. Texas study shows fertilizer in fertile women leads to birth defects. And, if you will, one of the other great ones that Gary Ginsberg did, is the president's climate speech good or bad for your lungs? Arthur Perry at half past the You Beauty segment will be talking about, guess what? What you can do to keep your hands looking young. Do you worry about your hands, Bridget?
Oh, that's actually a good one. Yeah, I do a little.
Well, as I saw you, whatever you call it, rubbing and obsessing over your hands and putting junk on your hands over there while using your computer, I would say, gosh. Now, when we left off, you were talking about the new USDA criteria for snacks. And then you were talking about, and they go into effect in a year, but then you also were talking about what happens when parents talk to their kids about dieting.
Yeah, this was a really good study because I think that it drilled down to a lot of issues that can lead to eating disorders in children. And as parents of overweight adolescents, they found that it's very important to be cautious of the way that you speak with your child about a potential weight problem.
So you shouldn't tell your kid, lose weight, run outside, lose weight.
No, and I've actually seen it in some of my friends whose moms are obsessed with them being skinny. I've seen a lot of unhealthy behaviors stem from that. And so this research study only pronounced that. So they found that mothers were reported more often having conversations about dieting and losing weight, but that the fathers ended up having a greater impact on a child's likelihood of engaging in unhealthy weight loss behaviors. So fathers in particular should be careful of this. But they found that
So it wasn't that they didn't lose weight after the father talked, but they went to unhealthy behaviors.
Right.
Meaning skipping food altogether, avoiding protein, getting into what would be called anorexic or bulimic behaviors.
Right. Any kind of behaviors that would eventually deprive the child of the nutrients that they needed from a healthy, balanced diet. So they found that the children who ended up having success with weight loss were the ones whose parents spoke with them about healthy living rather than saying that they were overweight and that they needed to watch their calories or things like that. So the parents that approached it in that way and also were able to have the conversation with their child, because a lot of parents of the overweight adolescents, a certain percentage didn't even have the discussion. So it's important to have the discussion about healthy living and speaking with them about, you know, why exercise is healthy rather than why it's important to lose weight.
And what about grandparents? We should have asked about grandparents.
I know.
Do grandparents ever asked about, have they ever been studied on what they do about weight?
Well, this research study didn't talk about grandparents or if there has been a study done. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been, but I could see that it would potentially have a similar effect.
Now, one of the studies I really enjoyed this week was the fact that the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force wants every baby boomer, that's 50 and over, 50 to 67 now, mm-hmm. Or 52 to 67 now, tested for hepatitis C. And the real reason is we now have therapies that aren't very toxic, but can prevent chronic liver disease and death and, in fact, liver cancer from hepatitis C. It's one of those largest undiagnosed diseases because it only causes low-grade liver problems, that is, low-grade liver abnormalities or even none. But it is now treatable by things that don't cause any place near as much toxicity as the things. First of all, it never used to be treatable, and now in the last 4 or 5 years it is treatable, and now in the last year with things that are much less toxic to you. So that's a real change. So if you're in that age group greater than 52, probably ask your doctor if you should be getting tested for hepatitis C. The other thing is that many more people are getting the hepatitis A vaccine. Go to any country, or even if you're eating in a lot of what I would call shady restaurants in the United States, if you travel a lot and go to places that you don't know the quality of the wait staff and kitchen help in, maybe it's not a bad idea to get the hepatitis A vaccine, since hepatitis A is largely transmitted among food. Now, you also like the story about young adults with melanoma.
Yeah.
Guys having a much higher risk than women.
Yeah, I thought that this of dying from it, because actually women have a higher risk of
getting melanoma.
Yes.
Do you think it's because guys look at their skin much less often, or don't look at their skin? I mean, you've lived with three guys this last 6 weeks, right? And the place was a mess, right?
Oh, it was disgusting. It was so disgusting.
And the bathroom was a mess.
The bathroom and the kitchen were the worst places. And I shared a bathroom with two of the boys. And they thought
you're
that
calling
it was
them boys, not young men or men.
Of the guys. they wanted me to call them y'all. Every time I'd say, hey, guys, they'd say, no, stop. You're not in Ohio. You need to say, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. But do you think they didn't look at their skin very much?
No, I think they looked at their skin, like, probably more than I do. They all went to the gym, and they were, like, obsessed with dissecting every part of their body and seeing how they could get bigger, I guess.
And the only part of the body size matters with, you know, is the brain.
Right, of course. So, that's what I told them.
Oh, what a taunt. Bridget is this absolutely beautiful lady.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And she must have, those guys must have absolutely gone crazy. Okay, poor guys.
No.
Anyway,
no,
so why
didn't.
Do you think, the mortality of melanoma is much greater in men? So this goes with Ohio is considering a banning teen tanning centers or teen
right.
tanning in centers.
Well,
it is already banned in New York and New Jersey. But why do you think the problem is on melanoma in men
versus
women?
Well, I think that the sex disparity that exists in terms of the incidence of melanoma in females is higher because females tend to go to tanning beds more often than males. From my experience.
So that's why melanoma is more common. Why do you think it is that it's more lethal in us males? We're not going to answer that right now. We'll get it when we come back. But first, we're also going to come back to Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic and what's not? Don't touch that cell phone or even that dial. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. The keyword is stay well. You can always get us 877-711, 877, it's toll free, 877-711-5211, or udocs, UDOCS, at gmail.com. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. You can call in 877-711-5211 or email us at udocs, youdocs, at gmail.com. And now, as always, my favorite segment of the show, which is Gary Ginsberg, What's Toxic and What's Not. Gary is the toxicologist in the Connecticut State Health Department, so he has always great data and great information. So this one is one I really like, Gary. fertilizer in fertile women leads to birth defects. What's that all about?
Yeah, just a little play on words, but it's true. A study out of Texas and Iowa, 3,300 mothers who had, they looked at what they were, it was in their drinking water, and then they looked at the rates of birth defects, and in particular, spina bifida, neural tube defects in general, and cleft palate were statistically and pretty strongly increased in those women who had more than 5 milligrams per liter, that's a certain amount of contaminant, called nitrate in their water.
How common is that level? In other words, we don't ever see that in city water that's taken care of. This has to be well water, is that right?
It's going to be well water, and it's going to be out near farmland. And so Texas, Iowa, that's why the study was done out there. And I've talked on this show before about nitrate and how it could harm little babies, because it could basically blow up their red blood cells if they get too much of it. And the standard for nitrate, and this is the key thing about this study, is that this suggests that the current standard is too high that EPA has, that their standard is okay to protect babies' red blood cells. But now this new study is showing that if you're a pregnant woman, that standard might be too high. They were getting at 4 times lower level in their water, they were getting birth defects. And so it's coming from the runoff from farms. So as these farmers put tons and tons and tons of nitrate fertilizer, it doesn't all get taken up by the plants. And it does get down into the groundwater. And any
So we have a question from Pamela here. I don't know where Pamela is. Oh, it's Iowa. Pamela in Iowa, so she must be concerned about this. And she said, does this happen on organic farms as well as on farms that use non-organic fertilizer?
Great question, Pamela. And the short answer is much less likely, because they'll probably be using organic-style fertilizers, which there would be less runoff into groundwater, but it still is
possible. But wouldn't it still have nitrates in it, Gary?
It still would. But the organic type of fertilizers that they use tend to hang in the topsoil better, run off to groundwater less, and so groundwater contamination on that massive level that it would take to, for a down-gradient well to be damaged would be less likely on an organic, near an organic farm. But the reality, Pamela, is that you've got one organic farm, maybe in an area where there's non-organic, and so it's the overall general water quality in the area that your well may be tapping into. And the bottom line here is that if you're anywhere near this kind of farming, or if you're in an area where there's a lot of septic systems and groundwater wells near each other, you definitely want to test your well water once a year at least. And especially if you're pregnant, or especially if you've got little kids, you want to test for nitrate. It's a very inexpensive test, and it may really save some health issues.
So Gary, our cell phones, let's go to another subject. Are cell phones too toxic for kids to touch?
Yeah, this was at the University of Cincinnati, and I think this is so overblown. You know, it's one of these what's toxic, what's not stories. I think it's more on the what's not. Now, cell phones and electronics do have flame retardants, and especially the older ones did have higher levels of flame retardants. And that's what this story is really about, is that the University of Cincinnati found an association between levels in mothers' bodies of these nasty flame retardants, the diphenyl ethers, and slower learning, poorer IQ in their offspring. Okay, we all can understand that these are neurotoxic chemicals, shouldn't be in mom's bodies. But a kid touching a cell phone, he'd have to basically, like, mouth it a lot to get much flame retardant into his body. So the exposure pathway is these things come off the electronic equipment or come off the couch cushion, get into house dust, and then you've got exposure to the dust. And so the key is damp mop the floors, really keep your floors clean and vacuumed, and you get less dust exposure.
So if you get overly clean, just like Bridget's three male friends who she lived with, they were obsessed with cleaning the carpets, right?
Oh yeah, they cleaned every day.
Okay, next subject, Gary. This one is on, was the president's climate speech good for my lungs or bad?
Good. Now, what people will look at with the whole climate change and carbon issue is whether or not it's going to hit them in the pocketbook, whether it's going to be good or bad for the economy, whether it's going to be good or bad, of course, for the polar bears, all the ice melting. Those are all relevant issues. But I, as a toxicologist, want to speak up for everybody's lungs and say it's great to put a price tag on carbon, because carbon is, after all, what is in particulate matter, which gets into our lungs, causes all that inflammation, causes all that asthma. And so Obama indirectly, by taxing carbon, whatever the system's going to be on all these big power plants, and by pushing for higher efficiency cars, by making our industries cleaner, is also...
Well, but how much does the United States contribute versus other countries to our lung pollution, carbon. That is pollution for our lungs? Doesn't China, by burning all that coal, affect us?
Probably 90% is local and 10% is more global on that score. When it comes to climate, global climate, then what China's putting in is just as important as what anybody else is putting in. But when you're talking about that kid in the inner city who is playing near a bus route or who is living near a power plant, it's the local source that Obama is trying to clean up, and that does need to be cleaned up to protect lungs.
Okay, we've got about 2.5 minutes, so I don't know if you can do this in that period of time. The Vietnam War toxic legacy is still emerging. What do you mean? I was a Vietnam, if you will, participant. I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in the services. It won't affect me, obviously. It's only things that people who actually went to Vietnam. Is that right?
Yes, right. Because we hear about Agent Orange, and I could get in a minute. I'll say about that. But something I didn't know about all the herbicides. And really, it constitutes a version of chemical warfare. At the time, we didn't realize, or maybe some people didn't realize, just how toxic the defoliants we were spraying all through Vietnam to fight the war, to cut down, to make the invisible enemy more visible. But we also had a rainbow of herbicides. There was Agent Orange, which was basically a form of dioxin pesticide, but there were other pesticides that were nitrosamine-based. And, Mike, you probably know enough chemistry to know how genotoxic, mutagenic, and birth defective nitrosamines are. That was Agent White. That was another defoliant. And then they sprayed something to kill off the rice crop to starve them out, and that was arsenical-based pesticide. That was Agent Blue. So we had Agent Blue, Agent White, Agent Orange, to the tune of 20 million gallons were rained down on Vietnam of these herbicides, pesticides, mutagens, carcinogens during the Vietnam War. It was a scale of chemical pollution of groundwater, of food crops, of the human ecology, a scale that probably hasn't been seen anywhere else on the planet. And so the birth defects that are coming out of that, the cancer that's coming out of that, has never seriously studied. It's ripe for more analysis. But some of the veterans, and there in the mid-1980s, there was an informal study of 200,000 Vietnam vets, who 56,000 of them, 25%, claiming that there was a birth defect after their...
Gary, you're going to want to listen to the next segment, just as we love your segment. Arthur Perry is going to be on talking about how to keep your body and skin looking young, what to do best to keep yourself rejuvenated and young. And I know you're getting old like the rest of us. Stay well on RadioMD.com.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Torticure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Torticure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
Hello, Arthur. With me here in beautiful Cleveland is Bridget. And we're going to talk about aging and skin and how to keep your hands young. But Bridget said that your soap, she just told me that your soap was the the Clean Time, I think it's called, T-H-Y-M-E, Clean Time. Where did, how do they get that? How did she get it?
How did you get it?
I liked your Facebook page and then saw the thing that you posted on Facebook, clicked on your website from there, and then it was shipped to my house.
So it's Dr. Perry's, PERRYS.com. Is that right?
That's right. And there is an 800 number for those listeners out there, Mike, who do not like using the computer. And I know there are still three or four of those out there. So that number is 855-940-1900. 855-940-1900.
And, of course, we're in the You Beauty segment, but I want to bring up one thing because of a question from a listener that I thought was important enough. She said, you told us about red meat and four-legged animal fat. I thought coconut was good for the brain. Well, this was a story from last week, and Angie has emailed me. Angie, the coconut and palm oil are inflammatory, so Don't believe the marketing hype that they're different than the other saturated fats. They aren't in the body as far as we can tell. They look like they cause the same thing. That is, they inhibit the clearance of the amyloid protein from the brain and are associated in animal models and in human, if you will, studies. There's a great increase in those people who have saturated fat with lack of clearance of these things that cause memory dysfunction in your brain. So saturated fat, whether from red meat, two-legged animal skin, or palm or coconut oil, inhibit the clearance of the things in the brain that is called amyloid protein and tau protein. Anyway, Arthur, let's go to a different subject, which is my hands. I'm already looking old. What do I do about it? That's not true, by the way.
Well, Mike, I know. Well, you look so young. You know, it's hard to believe you're now 43 years old, I'll tell you. But the
get my heart rate up to exactly that. Well, to 44. I get my heart rate up to 176 at least twice a week during exercise, which gives me a max heart rate age, if you will, of 44. So thank you.
You're very welcome. I knew that looking at you. So here's the story. The rest of us, not Mike Roizen, but the rest of us age normally. You know, he's some sort of an android. But the rest of us begin to age about when you hit 30. So you're almost there, just another 15 years for you, Bridget. And
Yay.
You'll be there. Right. And you know, plastic surgeons have spent so much time worrying about aging faces. You know, about drooping eyelids and jowls and brown spots on the face and wrinkles around the mouth. But you see these people who have undergone facial rejuvenative surgery, and their face looks 50 and their hands look 80. You know, it's almost comical. So in the last 5 or so years, plastic surgeons have begun paying attention to that other part of the body that's exposed outside of clothing, the hands and the forearms. And a whole range of procedures have been developed over the last few years to make your hands look as young as your face, Bridget. So, what happens as we get older? Our skin thins, we know that.
Now, does the skin thin more in some places than others? Like, does it thin more? Seems to me on the lower legs and arms, it skins more than on the face. Is that right, or is that an illusion that I get just because I see where the elderly look like they're bruised more?
Yeah, it thins in areas that are sun exposed faster, because the sun causes a fair amount of damage, and it accelerates the destruction of collagen. That's why. So it could be the face, hands, legs. But if someone, particularly a woman, has used sunscreen her entire life on her face, like so many people do use, but they neglect their arms and legs, that's when you'll see aging forearms, hands, and legs before the normal aging of the face.
Or chest.
What's
I feel
that?
Like a lot of women forget to put sunscreen on their chest. And then, you know, when you see women that have really, like, wrinkly chests, it looks gross.
And that's a technical term. Thank you. Yes, it looks wrinkled and with splotchy pigmentation of the upper chest. That's correct. We're addressing that also. So believe it or not, we're doing things for brown splotchy pigmentation, not only the hands, I'm glad you brought that up, but on the upper chest and lower neck area. And we're using peels, the same peels, trichloroacetic acid, that's a TCA peel, on the hands, on the arms, and on the upper neck. We have to be more careful in those areas because we might heal a peel on the face in 5 days, but it takes 7 to 9 days to heal that same peel on the hands. We have to be very careful.
Now, wait a second. So we use a peel on all aging skin, and that takes away some of the brown spots, and what else does it take away?
It stimulates a little collagen to form. So collagen is that structural layer of the skin.
So it thickens the skin a little bit.
That's correct. So that's what appeal does. And it's a little uncomfortable to do, but less uncomfortable on the hands and forearms than on the face. Most people on the face tell me, I haven't had one because I too have a youthful face. But my patients tell me that it's fairly painful on the face, and on the hands it's more of a mild stinging. And the reason for that, of course, is there are less nerve endings on the backs of the hands and on the forearms. So we do a peel, and there have been studies that have shown that the peel and the laser and cryotherapy, that means freezing off the brown spots, are all fairly equivalent in how they function. But the thing is, it's more expensive, yes it is, to have a laser, and you're more likely to get a little white spot.
So on top of this peel, when we come back, on top of the peel, we're going to have you tell us what we do next. So we've put the peel on certain key areas, such as the back of the hands. Do we put it on the face at all, Arthur?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
that is
so we put the peel on the back of the hands and the face, and then we wait for it to, I suppose, do its thing. You get a little red. How long does it heal, and do you put anything on while it's healing? That'll be the next questions we have to ask you.
And what age you start
I'm ready
doing them?
And what age do we start, Bridget wants to know. Is she too old to start? Should she have started 30 years ago?
Bridget was an egg 30 years ago. So she was a thought 30 years ago.
That is true.
Now, do you want those answers now or after the break, Mike?
We'll take them after the break on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with, obviously, young Dr. Mike Roizen, Bridget, and Dr. Arthur Perry on the YouBeauty.com segment. You can call Arthur, by the way, to order. Since we've had another question about it, they said, what was the 800 number? It wasn't 800. It was an 855 number, 855-940-1900. 855-940-1900. And by the way, you can call us at 877-711-5211. 877-711-5211 and talk to Arthur directly. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Radio, and you can find us all the time at archived at radiomd.com. Stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help. help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And the first segment with Dr. Perry in the ubeauty.com segment, we talked about first the peel, doing a peel on your hands and on those areas where you've got the brown spots. And you probably got it. You don't put it just on the brown spot. You put it all over. So while that peel is on, Arthur, anything we should do? We take the peel off, we wash the peel off, then what happens?
Well, Mike, I always like to say that the peel is not for the faint of heart, because it sounds so simple, doesn't it? But the peel, let me tell you what you look like after the peel. Whether you put it on your...
I see what you look like. You look really red.
Really red. The first day it's red, the second day it's gray. The third day, it looks like someone took some Saran wrap and then took the hair dryer on your face or your hand and shrunk wrapped it. That's the third day. The fourth day, it splits. This is very pretty, by the way. If you go to a restaurant, they'll sit you immediately. You won't wait. They won't want you. So the
first day, you're red. Second day, you're gray. Third day, what happens?
Third day, it looks like you've had Saran wrap shrink wrapped onto your face. The fourth day, that plastic appearance begins to split. You begin to see the new skin underneath. And on the fifth day, most of the peeling has occurred, exposing kind of pink skin underneath. It's not a wound, not like the deeper peels we used to do. And by the sixth day, it's completely off. And you've got your new skin, and I've just explained this, and you want to know, you need makeup for 2 weeks, which is why almost all these procedures are done in women, because most men don't like to use makeup, and you need makeup for 2 weeks because you look fairly red after this peel. But it's effective in getting rid of brown, not if it's raised, however, not if they're raised. So if you feel it, it's either a mole or something called a seborrheic keratosis. Those are treated differently. Those are either excised or shaved. So that's the peel, Mike. We can also make you look better in other ways.
Well, now,
by
after
filling.
You get the peel, wait a second. After the peel, do you put anything on? Do you use any lotion? Do you use any separate thing? Does nighttime work? Do you moisturize more? What has to happen?
Well, during the period where until you actually physically feel, you should use a moisturizer. So a moisturizer applied at least 2 times a day and more likely 4 or 6 times a day here, because it makes it feel better. It really does. I don't know if it speeds up the process, but people certainly feel better with a moisturizer on their skin after they've had this peel. We don't, which has vitamin C and vitamin A in it for several weeks after the peel. And the reason for that is once you have peeled, the upper layer of skin, for you technical people out there, that's called the stratum corneum, is very, very thin. And that's the layer that keeps things out. So you're much more likely to get a contact dermatitis in the first few weeks after a peel, even with things that you could normally use. So you have to be very careful. That happens all the time. People wind up getting a second peeling episode because they've had an allergic reaction to something that they've used for years. So that's what you have to do. And then by 2 weeks or so after the peeling has occurred, which is 3 weeks after the peel, most of that redness is gone. It's a great peel, but remember what I said, it's not for the faint of heart.
Okay, now what else do you do?
All right, so what else happens to our hands as we get older? Besides that brown splotchy pigmentation that we get, the skin thins, and so we begin to actually see through our skin, and it doesn't look real pretty. And so we can actually fill the space underneath the skin so that your hand no longer looks like a skeleton. We have fat that we put in there, but that's a surgical procedure. The more common procedures are with radius, which is something made of the building block of bone, calcium, hydroxyl apatite, or we can use hyaluronic acid, and there are various types out there, various brands. And it's a very quick procedure. It only takes about 20 minutes, and we do about 4 or 5 injections into the back of the hand, and then we smush it. That's a technical word. We smush it underneath the skin and distribute it underneath the skin.
So this is, in general, you're putting in a filler, and you're spreading it around by the smushing action. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Am I interpreting this correctly?
You are. The smush is the important key. It's the important part of the procedure. So we put this filler in, and that stays around for about a year, and it makes you look better. Now, there's one word of caution, Mike. I know we don't have too much time. One word of caution. Some people are going one step further with hand rejuvenation, and they are obliterating the veins on the back of the hand.
Why would they do that?
Because some people don't like the appearance of those veins, and so they're doing sclerotherapy. They're destroying them. And you know, I know what you're thinking, because I think the same thing. We have to preserve certain parts of our body for the day that we wind up in the hospital and an IV needs to be put in. And boy, when you've destroyed all those veins in your hands, then they have to start using veins up the arm. And heaven forbid you have an illness. Anyone out there who's had multiple IVs knows you need every vein you can get your hands on, no pun intended. So do not do the sclerotherapy for those veins.
We're now, Arthur, thank you for this quick course. We'll come back to more next week, but we're in 2 weeks, actually. Next week is a best of show. But right now, the Real Age tip of the week. And I'm going to take a special one that's short. Keep kids safe at play. Every parent must have said these words 1,723 times. Go outside and play. And then they join the kids, kicking soccer balls, playing catch, and shooting hoops. It gets youngsters involved in sports, encourage lifelong fitness, and is fun. What if your kids get better, maybe way better at a sport than you are? My kids did. Get some exercise by pacing the sidelines or jumping and cheering. Just make sure your children aren't among the 3.5 million kids in the U.S. who get sports injuries. Play it safe. Protect their brains. Helmets are absolutely non-negotiable. I did that with my son and his friend. When they got hit by a car while rollerblading, their brains were safe. That's a good thing. A mouth guard can provide extra protection against concussions. After age 5, gave kids 200 milligrams a day of DHA omega-3. It's a key fat. Getting it in advance seems to protect against concussions. Don't forget the bodies. From goalies to boarders, kids should be well padded in vulnerable places. This could mean neck, shoulder, elbow, chest, knee, and shin pads, protective eye gear, face masks, joint guards, and protective cups. No team sports until at least age 5, and avoid heat injuries. Make sure your kids drink plenty of water before, during, and after play, especially these hot summer weekends. The real age benefit of keeping your kids safe, priceless and yearless. And that's the real age tip of the week. So now we want to thank you for great engineering, Bridget, Gary Ginsburg, Arthur Perry, and Michael Gurian for his great work on the book, The Wonder of Aging, and you especially for listening to us. We'll be back next week with a best of show in 2 weeks with an original one, You, the Owner's Manual radio show. You can always find us, Radio MD, and stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start insures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom. I'm
Thanks,
very
honey.
Proud of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to ParentsGuideCordBlood.org to learn more.